भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today is August 26, 2015. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, Chapter 72, The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha, verses 23 to 27. We will recite verses 23 to 26 together, and we will chant verse 27 responsively.
Rajanyabhandavo yete brahmalingani dhibrati dhidani dikshitam tedva atmanam apidushyajam.
Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Jarasandha thought, these are surely members of the royal order dressed as brahmanas, but still I must grant their request for charity, even if they beg me for my own body. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Here, Jarasandha reveals his strong commitment to charity, especially when begged by brahmanas. Verses 24 to 25.
Balirnu shuyate kirtir vittasa bhikshvakalmasa aishwaryad bhramshikasyapi vipravyajena vishnina shriyam jihir shatendrasya Vishnave Dvijarupine Jananapi Mahim Padad Vayamano Pidaityarat.
Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Indeed, the spotless glories of Bali Maharaj are heard throughout the world. Lord Vishnu, wishing to recover Indra's opulence from Bali, appeared before him in the guise of a Brahmana and made him fall from his powerful position. Though aware of the roots and forbidden by his guru, Bali, king of the demons, still gave Vishnu the whole earth in charity.
Verse 26. Jivata brahmanarthaya konvartha chatra bandhina dehena patamanena nehata vipulam yashaha.
Translation. What is the use of an unqualified kshatriya who goes on living but fails to gain everlasting glory by working with his perishable body for the benefit of brahmanas? So verse 27 we will do responsibly.
Vishudhara matitaha Vishnarjuna vrkodaran evitavriyatam kamo Dadanyatma Shiropiva Vishudhara Matitaha Krishnarjuna Vrikodaran Evitravriyatam Kamo Dadanyatma Shiropiva Vishudhara Matitaha Vishnarjuna Vrikodaran Evitravriyatam Kamo Dadanyatma Shiropiva.
Krishnarjuna Vrikodaran
Devi Pravriyata Namo. Janyasma Shiropiva.
Good, good to work. You see, the daughter, generous, not to be, who's intelligent, Raha, said, Krishna Arjuna, the Godaran. The Krishna Arjuna and Bhima. They become all learned Brahmana. Vriyatam, let it be chosen. Sammaha, what you desire. Dami, I will do it. Atma, my own. Shiva, head. Atma, even. Baha, to you. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami from Kini, thus making up his name. The generous Vasagar, Jarasandha, addressed Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima, all one Brahmana, choose whatever you wish. I will give you, I will give this to you, even if it is my own self. So, the master is we've been having so many beautiful classes here, and very meaningful classes as well. And so the topic that we've been talking about is quality and qualification. So in these verses we have we're inside Jarasandha's mind, so we're just doing five verses. All are his thoughts. So he starts by thinking that, you know, these members of the royal family, they're dressed as Brahmins, so, you know, he's very generous and he should acquiesce to whatever they desire. And then, he was observing, you know, he was, why Krishna was speaking, he was observing this bodily features. And so I thought of today, we recover, you know, Jarasandha's qualities very lightly because they were covered extensively in the last two classes. And also Krishna's qualities. As a young devotee, this was my favorite pastime, you know, to read in Krishna book, because I admired so much, you know, Krishna's ingenuity. And then I did not know the glories of Uddhava. You know, this was all Uddhava's idea. And I find that very ingenious. So, you know, to qualify, I'm going to read a few of the qualities from the Nectar Devotion that applies to this pastime, according to my own discretion. And we're also going to speak a little bit about the instructions of Rupa Swami and one little pastime of Gurudas Pandit. Jarasandha is thinking. He also thought about why he was, you know, watching those three brahmanas coming to request to him. He was remembering Bali Maharaj. So that remembrance of Bali, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada mentioned that the motivation of Jarasandha was glory and fame. So he wasn't giving charity because he was just, you know, without any desire for a reward. He was doing it because he wanted to be famous. He wanted to have a word out there, his personality. And then I think Krishna already spoke, right?
Did Krishna speak already?
No. But you know, when Krishna was speaking, Jarasandha was thinking of the pastime of Bali Maharaj, and that he wanted that position. And Bali Maharaj was so famous for giving everything, even against his own guru advice. He surrendered to Krishna. And by doing that, he acquired long-lasting fame. And that was the, you know, the candy for Jarasandha. And Krishna, very charmingly, he leaves with his words, he made up the mind of Jarasandha. So Krishna's psychology was very praiseworthy. Because he could start by glorifying the king, Vidyananda. So when he started glorifying the king, he yes, let me start glorifying the king. I am so unprepared because I'm getting ready for a trip. Give me my being all over the place. I'm leaving this afternoon. Yesterday I was apologizing. Krishna book. So when Krishna starts speaking, first he said, all glories to you, to your majesty. So like, you know, he's presenting himself, you know, as a lower person, glorifying the king. And then he goes on to talk about tolerance. And he said that, you know, first he said to kind of soften Jarasandha's heart and put himself in a position of surrender. He said, I'll become great distance just to ask charity of you. So that's the endearing, you know, a person comes to say to you, I came long distance just to come to you. So that's, you know, so that's Krishna leaving his magic. And then he said, and we hope that, you know, you're going to bestow upon us. So right there, he already said his punchline. And then he goes on to glorify the king, saying that, we know about your good qualities. And then he talks about tolerance. So tolerance, you know, he's a very tolerant person, you know, so there's no problem here. You know, even if we're, whatever we ask of you, you know, even if there was a class before, it was specifying, there was a purport specifying, you know, that it was his son, you know, he asked to give his son, if you give, if you tolerate. But Krishna was, you know, covering all these, because Krishna is in Jarasandha's heart. So he knows the man from inside. And so all the points that were important to Jarasandha, Krishna was touching. So first he thought, talk about tolerance. And then he said, with a charitable person, that he was a greatly charitable, great charitable person. And so a great personality. And also that have no distinction between relatives and outsiders. So all this, Krishna's glorifying the king in this way and putting his mind at ease. And then he talked about fame, how, you know, fame lives forever, but the body, it perishes. How important it is to have fame. And it's more important than your own body. So that he was preparing the mind. So That's when, you know, Jarasandha was thinking about Bali Maharaj. He said, oh, yeah, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to get as famous as, you know, Bali Maharaj and all those other kings that are mentioned. But their sacrifice of their physical body. So Krishna was expertly saying also that, you know, it's a lamentable thought that, you know, if a person that a famous person lives forever even after his death. Therefore, any person specifically fit and able to execute acts which will perpetuate his good name and fame, and yet does not disturb, becomes abominable in the eyes of the persons. That's like a very important argument that Krishna placed. And then he goes on to say that such a person cannot be condemned enough, and his refusal to give charity is lamentable throughout his whole life. Meaning that if he doesn't do whatever, you know, just give whatever they're asking, he's going to lament his whole life. He's setting up, he's making the mind of Jarasandha. And then he goes on addressing him like, your majesty must have heard of glorious names of charitable personalities, and he mentioned all those personalities that yesterday we were all talking about. And so these personalities became immortal by their faith. And so that really got Jarasandha to get very excited and enthusiastic about, you know, giving to these Brahmins. And this is a sentence here, like, if one can attain imperishable name and fame by sacrificing his perishable body, he becomes a very respectable figure in the history of human civilization. That's important for materialists. Jarasandha marked that he was observing the marks of the body of those Brahmanas. Imagine, you know, they were very beautiful. The Kshatriya race, they're big men, very muscular, very tall, very beautiful features. So they have that presence. And on top of that, they had marks on their body from carrying the weapons, the bows and arrows. So Jarasandha was observing all this. But Krishna, on top of that, Krishna was speaking to him. So Krishna softened all that, and Jarasandha decided right then and there, yes, I am going to give him. And the reason is that Krishna is very very fluent. But now the next devotion. A person is fluent when He can speak meaningful words with all the lightness and good qualities. And so this is a Krishna. He presented this very meaningful words, very politely, and showing good qualities. And Krishna is a pleasing talker. This is also one of the qualities of Krishna. A person who can speak sweetly, even with his enemy, just to pacify him, is called a pleasing talker. And Krishna was such a pleasing talker. And even after, like an example, after defeating Kaliya in the waters of Jatamuna, Krishna says, oh dear, my dear king of snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these guys. which are worshipped even by the demigods, only in order to save them from danger of your presence, have I been obliged to banish you from this place. So this is like Krishna was saying, sorry, you know, sorry I had to give this to you, but you know, you've got to leave. So he's a very pleasing talker. And then Krishna is highly learned. And the highly learned, masterfully weaving examples of kings who became famous for charitable deeds and sacrificing the body for giving alms. This is like Krishna is very learned. He thought of this. He thought of this way of approaching Jarasandha. So Jarasandha would be defenseless against, you know, any resistance. So Krishna is highly learned. He knows exactly what to do with time, place, and circumstance. And from the nectar devotion we have, when a person is highly educated in arts and acts, strictly on moral principles, he is called highly learned. A person conversing in different departments of knowledge is called educated, and because he acts on moral principles, he is called morally stout. Together, these two factors constitute the being. So another one is that Krishna is highly intelligent. All these qualities of Krishna. A man is called intelligent when he has sharp memory and fine discretion. As far as Krishna's memory is concerned, it is said that when he was studying in a school of Sandipani Muni in Avantipura, he showed such a sharp memory by once taking instructions from the teacher, he immediately became perfect in any subject. So this is those are opulences of Krishna. There are people in this world that have some of the qualities, you know, very intelligent, very sharp memory. And they have those odd, not very common people that, you know, have a photographic memory. So when you see something, they remember dates, some people remember facts or all their days of their life. They remember what the weather was, you know, 3 years ago in this place. So there are, you know, these anomalies. But Krishna is full of all these opulences. And he's very clever. Krishna being clever, and also, he's a genius. Now, in a genius category of Krishna, I thought of Srila Prabhupada, that example of Srila Prabhupada in an airplane. I think it was and how Srila Prabhupada was arguing as a Vaishnava, and the disciple was an impersonalist. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, won the argument. And then I said, okay, now I'm going to be the impersonalist, and you be the Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada still won the argument. So this is genius, Srila Prabhupada. Had that quality of Krishna, of how to approach time, place, and circumstance. You know, he came to a world of religious. There was nothing here that reminded him of the glories of Raj. And very expertly, he weaves through our consciousness into this beautiful philosophy. And also Krishna is clever. So he made a convincing case before the king. Like if one can, you know, have the name and fame. That's a clever way to present it. And Bali Maharaj is a famous speaker. He became very famous, you know, I don't know, is one of the far out stories of the Krishna book in the Bhagavatam, you know, somebody that was born into have and was put together, brought back to life by a witch in the forest. That, you know, he's already, he has all those details of his life are known to us because he achieved fame. Not all the kings that, you know, in the Bhagavatam, we know the details of their birth, especially the demons, the ones that are enemies of Krishna. So, Bali Maharaj got his wish, and especially him, because he was dealing with Krishna. Okay. Again, that's the last one. Is that Shukadeva Goswami was saying that, so Jayasana made his mind, when he addressed the king, that Krishna, Arjuna, Bhima, all the Brahmanas, choose whatever you wish, and I will give it to you, even if it is my own head. So then, with a seal, he made his mind, you know, his faith was then and there, finished. So I just wanted to glorify Krishna in this way. And since today is the disappearance of Rupa Goswami and Gauridas Pandit, yesterday Dharmaraj was speaking so nicely about qualities and about patience and enthusiasm, the balance. There was somebody's question and there was your answer. And but that was a very nice point, how to balance, how to know if you're giving a lot of yourself to bhakti, to your practice, to your sadhana. Then it's that balance between patience and enthusiasm. So Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction, the text 3, there's a very nice verse that says, there are 6 principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. Number 1, being enthusiastic. Number 2, endeavoring with confidence. So we always know that Krishna will have our backs, always, no matter what you're just as two classes ago, we were talking about Dharma, that Shana Kavishu, very nice class. He's talking about Dharma and acting rightly in the world, like Dharma is like a materialistic way of getting to spiritual life. And if you act properly, you will be easier to be able to be spiritual in your life. And so endeavoring with confidence, we always endeavor with confidence in our own field of activity. And we're not going to go outside into simple activities and go with confidence there. So endeavoring with confidence within the Dharma. Being patient, that's another point. So that number 1 is being enthusiastic, number 3 being patient. And then number 4, acting according to regulated principles such as Shravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smarana, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. That's the candy that, that's the candy that attracts our mind, it's the glorified Krishna. Number 5, abandoning the association of non-devotees. This is a good point. Because that is like Shanaka Misha was saying that there are bhaktas in other traditions. And I really like that point because I also came from a Catholic background and I met very devout Catholics. And so they actually practice, you know, these principles of being a good person. So they're acting dharmically very nicely. And they have that flame of love of God in their hearts that they want to love God, they want to please God. So there are a lot of people in other denominations, in other faiths and other religions that have that flame of love of God. We are not, it's not a person, it's not exclusive to our practice. You know, Krishna is for everyone. That was a very good point, that Krishna is for everyone. So that's abandoning the association of non-devotees does not mean that you don't connect with your heart with other people. You know, if they have that opening that you can connect with out of love, out of respect, you connect and they will remember, they will like you because you have that connection. Not everybody can have that kind of connection with people. So as Vaishnavas, as practicing bhakti, you know, we need to practice connecting with the heart. But that's what people remember. Just like when there is a funeral, you know, they usually say, it's not what you do, it's who you're connected with. It's not that the person has done this and this and that. It's the close, the family, the relations. Usually people only connect with the heart, with their close member, family members. But here we have Lord Chaitanya's and Srila Prabhupada's broad vision of family, of love outside your small circle. So we need to see every entity as a lovable entity so we can connect. There are always some qualities. Srila Prabhupada was very expert, again, genius, in seeing a little spark of good qualities and drawing that of all his disciples. He was excellent on that. So number six, following the footsteps of the previous acharya. That's what Srila Prabhupada did. He connected with everyone. And for us to strive to make that connection with the heart. It takes humility, and it takes, patience and enthusiasm in your practice, your confidence. You're going to stay there, and you're going to give yourself to others. So these six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotion. So this is the translation of this, and Rupa Goswami, very important instructions. This nectar instruction is the real nectar. The instructions in this book is there. Prepare one for the time of death. There's the next four. It says, oh, I should stop here. Oh, let me just say one thing about Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit, he was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. He was Subal in the Raja's pastime. And there's a pastime of Gauridas Pandit. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they were in his city. And Lord Chaitanya came to him and said, okay, we're leaving now. And he just was uncontrollably sobbing. Sobbing, and there was nothing that would stop him from sobbing. So then he approached Lord Chaitanya, and said, please promise me that I will never leave here. And Lord Chaitanya, okay, I promise. And what Lord Chaitanya did, Lord Chaitanya said, you can worship my deity form. He said, no, I want you to be still uncontrollably crying. And so then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, he brought the deities and Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda in person. And they came in front of Gauridas Pandit, and they didn't look any different from the deity form and the Lord himself. So the Lord told Gauridas Pandit, now you can choose. You pick, one of each, and you can keep them here forever. And that's how Gauridas Pandit was very happy. And the Lords were always dancing for a festival that the deities, these two deities, Gornitai, Goranichananda, they left the altar to vex Sankirtan by the Ganges. It's a beautiful, Ridai Chaitanya was there, the disciple of the Lord. For that, and he organized this party, and the deities came out of her, of Gurdas Pandit's house to party at the river bank with the deities and dance and sing and ecstasy. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes, for the Amohara.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I just appreciate your point that you brought up in the Krishna book by Jarasandha, that while he may have appeared to be following Dharma, is actually, because it was motivated, it was not really on a very high platform. In fact, it's explained by the Gita that is, you know, there's charity and austerity and mode of passion is exactly what there was for some fame and fortune. So besides the fact that he was an enemy of Krishna, you know, so he was pretty disqualified. I wanted to make another point, though. We've had some discussion about how we approach, in the last couple of days, how we approach other groups, or how we respect or interrelate with others who are not Vaishnavas. Excuse me for taking a couple minutes, but I wanted to just address that a little bit. I think there's a perspective that we have to remember, and that is while we follow the example of Prabhupada and Acharyas of having respect for all living entities, in particular anybody who is coming to God, and Prabhupada always did offer those people respect. At the same time, we realize that this process of Krishna consciousness is the highest path of Bhakti Yoga. Prabhupada often called it a postgraduate course in devotional life. He talked about, you know, the ladder, the yoga ladder, and how this is like the elevator that takes us directly to the highest point. It's also, of course, the pure practice of the Sankirtan Yajna, the Yuga Dharma for this age. So we shouldn't mistake and think that everything is the same, all paths are one, they all lead to the same place. They don't.
Nobody's saying that.
Well, no, but we have to be careful that we don't think, well, anyone who's practicing any kind of religion or God consciousness at all, that it's all necessarily going to be on the same platform. I think it's important to understand that we do not feel that we are better than other people, but we are perhaps more fortunate. And I think that we need to recognize that great fortune that we received from Srila Prabhupada and the Rupa Goswami and all of the Acharyas in our line and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that gave us this most perfect and wonderful process. So our job is to give association. We have to be careful that when we interrelate with others, with other groups, with other practices, that we try to give our association to bring the Krishna consciousness, whether that's just in very small ways, or if you're doing the holy name, or prasadam, or be. And I think we need to follow Prabhupada's example. We did not see Prabhupada so much interrelate and work with other groups. Actually, I can't think of any example where he really did. The only example I can think of is when Yogi Bhajan himself, the head of the Sikhs in America.
But the groups are made of people.
What's that?
The groups, other groups, are made of individuals.
Yeah.
So we are personalists. So we go in a basic, you know, person to person basis.
So what I'm saying with sort of Prabhupada's example is he always tried to bring people to Krishna consciousness, to give them Krishna consciousness, to give them philosophy from wherever position they were at, in a very kind way, in a very wonderful way. Sometimes it was not, sometimes it was even in a heavy way, depending upon the individual. You're exactly right. It was very personal. Srila Prabhupada knew how to approach people, but he was always bringing them to Krishna. It wasn't so much that he was, in fact, even when he would talk with
them. Excluding them because they were not bhaktas, not devotees, not Krishna devotees.
Right. And even, like, you know, Yogi Bhajan asked him to join with him in some convention conference. Prabhupada wasn't very interested. And I remember there was that famous professor in Switzerland, wasn't it Austria or Switzerland, that kept trying to go to higher levels of theology, and Prabhupada wouldn't let him get past the point of eating meat. So,
right.
In other words, You know, Prabhupada was very strong in the philosophy. He was very kind. He knew how to expertly present it. And I think that that's perhaps the problem, that we have not always been so expert at presenting. And sometimes, I think sometimes devotees have a little backlash. We feel like perhaps devotees have been too harsh or come off too sectarian or strident. And we don't want to do that. And those criticisms, I think, are correct. At the same time, we don't want to go overboard and not really present our philosophies in a very strong and convinced way.
Kindness to others is a good thing.
Very, very nice points, Srila. I was wondering myself, unlike your groups that we didn't criticize our acharyas and so forth, how can we stay silent or be nice to them all? We have to make some distinction. And in terms of those Satan, it's stated that we help the innocent and we avoid the enemies. That can be projected a little bit more.
Well, the madhyamas, that's the point of the Kanishtha and the madhyamadhikari, depending on, the kind of level of the person's heart, that's why it's so individual that you need to consider that, because sometimes if you feel that we are the most fortunate, well, how come the Vaishnavacharya is still so unfortunate? So it's a matter of attitude, of approaching. They feel so unfortunate because they cannot see Krishna. There's that humble heart that is very attractive, and that captures people's interest.
The last point I want to make is when Jarasandha said he would even give his son, eventually his son actually surrendered to the Pandavas and Krishna.
Right.
That was very nice, and even fought in Mahabharata.
And his son was named Sahadev.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same name as one of the Pandavas, Lakshmaniji. Hang on, it's coming. Regards to Gauridas Pandit, yeah. Because that story of the deities,
yeah.
It goes on a little bit, that the deities appeared to be the same, and
yeah.
So he was asked to choose. So
right.
He chose one, and then the other, Gaurantai, they started to leave, and then
right.
He said, no, don't go. I want you to stay. So then they turned into the deity, and the deity started to walk out. And he said, no, I want you to stay. So then, Gornitai, they turned into the deity, and the deities started to walk out, and this went on a couple of times, and then Gauridas realized that there was no difference between the two, and so he kept the deity and Gornitai.
Nice. Oh, God, the glory. Thank you. Are we all done? Anybody else? Bye. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.